sure to come their way. Each did as he pleased. Each would have his own story, but none of them thought about that. The sun shone down into the water, making it light and clear. It was a world full of the strangest creatures, some of them enormously big with great, horrible mouths that could swallow all the 1,800 brothers and sisters, but none of them thought about that either, for none of them had ever been swallowed. The little ones swam together, close to one another, as the herring and the mackerel swim. As they were swimming along at their best and thinking of nothing in particular, there sank from above, down into the midst of them, with a terrifying noise, a long, heavy thing which seemed to have no end to it. Further and further it stretched out, and every one of the small fish that it struck was crushed or got a crack from which he couldn't recover. All the fishes, the small and the big as well, were thrown into a panic. That heavy, horrible thing sank deeper and deeper and grew longer and longer, extending for miles through the entire ocean. Fishes and snails, everything that swims, everything that creeps or is driven by the currents, saw this fearful thing, this enormous, unknown sea eel that all of a sudden had come from above. What kind of thing was it? Yes, we know. It was the great telegraph cable that people were laying between Europe and America. There were great fear and commotion among all the rightful inhabitants of the ocean where the cable was laid. The flying fish shot up above the surface as high as he could, and the blowfish sped off like a gunshot across the water, for it can do that. Other fishes went to the bottom of the ocean with such haste that they reached it long before the telegraph cable was seen down there, and they scared both the codfish and the flounder, who lived peacefully at the bottom of the ocean and ate their neighbors. A couple of the starfish were so frightened that they turned their stomachs inside out, but in spite of that they lived, for they can do that. Many of the lobsters and crabs got out of their fine shells and had to leave their legs behind. In all this fright and confusion, the 1,800 brothers and sisters had all become separated, never again to know or even meet each other, excepting 10 of them who had remained at the same place. And after these had held themselves still for a couple of hours, they recovered from their first fright and began to be curious. They looked about. They looked up and they looked down, and there in the deep, they thought they saw the frightful thing that had scared them, scared everyone, big and little. There it lay along the bottom of the ocean, extending as far as they could see. It was quite thin, but then they didn't know how thick it could make itself or how strong it was. It lay very quiet, but that, they thought, could be a trick. "Let it lie where it is. It doesn't concern us," said the most cautious of the little fish. But the very smallest one of them insisted on gaining some knowledge as to what that thing might be. It had come down from above, so above one could best find out about it. And so they swam up to the surface where there was calm weather. There they met a dolphin, which is a sort of jumping jack, an ocean rover that can turn somersaults in the water. As these have eyes to see with, he must have seen what had happened and should know all about it. They inquired, but the dolphin had only been thinking of himself and his somersaults, had seen nothing and didn't know what to answer, so he kept quiet and looked proud. Thereupon they turned to the seal who had just ducked down. He was more polite, although seals eat small fishes, for today he had had his fill. He knew a little more than the dolphin. "Many a night I have rested on a wet rock and looked far inland, miles away from here. There live some sneaky creatures who, in their language, are called people. They plot against us, but often we slip away from them, which I know how to do, and that is what the sea eel has done, too. He has been in their power, up there on the earth for a long, long time, and from there they carried him off on a ship to bring him across the ocean to a distant land. I saw what trouble they had. But they could manage him, because he had become weak on the earth. They laid him down in coils and circles. I heard how he wringled and wrangled when they put him down, but still he got away from them. They held on to him with all their might. Many hands held fast, but still he slipped away from them and reached the bottom. There he lies now, for a while at least, I think. He is rather thin," said all the little fish. "They've starved him," said the eel, "but he will soon be himself again, fat and big and round. I suppose he is the great sea serpent that people are so afraid of and talk so much about. I had never seen him before and never believed he existed, but now I do. I am sure he's the sea serpent." And with that, the seal dove down. "How much he knew, how much he talked," said all the little fish. "We have never been so enlightened before. If only it isn't all a lie." "We could swim down and investigate," said the smallest fish. "On the way, we can hear what others think about it." "We're not going to move a fin to find out anything more," said the others, and swam away. "But I'm going to," said the smallest, and plunged down into deep water. But the little fish was a consider